Oh, now I'm on. Okay, I'm not going to repeat all that for the tape. Okay, so as we start looking for looking at this study on getting to know the Holy Spirit a little bit more, we began focusing on the Holy Spirit's involvement in the creation. And we realize there that, you know, the first time that we see mention in the Scriptures of the Holy Spirit is not in Acts chapter 1 or chapter 2, but rather it's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. See? And so we looked at the Spirit hovering, the Spirit in the creation of the universe and the Spirit's involvement in that, along with the other two persons of the Godhead. Another part of that we were looking at in this the creating Spirit aspect is the renewing aspect of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit was not just simply involved in the creation and then just kind of took a back seat to, and sitting there and now waiting until, okay, now my next time on the scene is the day of Pentecost. But rather what we see from the Scriptures, what we saw in that part of the study, is the Holy Spirit is continually involved in sustaining and renewing the creation. Okay? So, so far we've talked a whole lot about the creative work and so forth. What we want to focus on this morning in this is the breathing aspect of the Holy Spirit in humanity. Okay? Again, going back to the creation, we're looking at the creation of man and what was the Spirit's involvement in this part of creation. Okay? As we look at it, one of the questions that oftentimes comes up when we're talking about the creation of mankind is, where did man get his soul? Okay? If you look in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, where the Scriptures tell us about the Spirit breathing life, then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Now, this particular text, some of you, if you have a King James Version, it says there, living what? Soul. Okay? And because of that translation, probably has led to a lot of misunderstanding concerning this particular statement, and in other words, people interpreting as it, well, that's the point where man received his soul. I don't know that that's necessarily correct. And the reason that I say that is because the words that are used here for living creature, and that's the word that is used here, not soul but creature, is the very same words that are used to describe all the animals and the birds that God created. If you look over in Genesis chapter 1, verses 20, verse 24, verse 28, verse 30, and Genesis chapter 7 and verse 4, we find the same word that is used there, talking about all the different animals and so forth. Let me get somebody to go to Genesis 7 and verse 4 and read that for us, please. What we need to understand is that the term breath of life and living creature do not, in this particular point, refer exclusively to human beings or to man. Verse 4.
Okay. I'm reading from the New King James.
Okay.
For after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made.
Okay? All right. Again, same word is there. So what all did God destroy in the flood? all the animals and man, right? Except those that were on the ark, you see? So God is referring to all the living things or living creatures that he had made. Includes both animals and man. So again, the point here being that this particular verse most likely does not really refer to the point where man got his soul. Okay? So then, you know, the question, okay, well, where does man get his soul? What it does is it tells us in this particular verse, chapter 2 and verse 7, that God breathed his presence into man. Some will say, okay, well, but isn't the presence of God, you know, the soul and so forth? Well, again, the reference here is the same to all the creatures. So if we say that this is the one where God gave a soul, then we have to say, well, then he gave that same soul to all the animals that he created also. Okay, let's go back a chapter, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and I think here is where we find the whole idea of a man receiving a soul. Okay, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, let me see here. God said, let us, who's the us again? Yeah, all three persons of the Godhead, okay? Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Now, when we look at these statements concerning the creation of man and how man was created, what is expressed here? What are we finding out here in all of this creation that God has created? What's this statement really telling us? Yeah. Of all of God's creation, man is the only part of creation that is in God's image. Okay? And if you look at God, okay, and the attributes of God, okay, one of those attributes has to do with God's immortality and his spirit. See? God has always existed and always will. Okay? And that is the nature of the soul. That is the spiritual aspect of the human being. The soul will always live on. Even after physical death occurs and separation from this physical world, okay, the soul is the part that will continue to live on. Because that's a part that is created in the image of Almighty God. You see, we're not created in the image of Almighty God physically, are we? See? Because God is not a physical being, is he? He's a spiritual being. So therefore, if we are created in the image of God, what part of God are we created to be like? The spiritual part, exactly, you say. Certainly not the physical. Okay, so this again is the Spirit's involvement in the creation, but specifically the creation of man, right? Absolutely.
And because we are also a spirit in nature because of the way he created us.
Right.
We have to worship him.
Absolutely. But the focus is on the spiritual aspect of mankind.
Right.
You see? And so right away, that should help us to understand that, again, the Holy Spirit didn't just begin His work on the day of Pentecost. He began His work back in the creation, you see, when God breathed life into man and He created us in His image. That is, that we have a spiritual being, part of us. You see? That nothing else in God's creation has. Now, we don't have any small children in here, so I'm able to say this, I think, without any fear. You know, the movie that was very popular back several years ago, All Dogs, they really don't go to heaven.
No.
Okay? You see? Makes a great movie, but theologically, it's not happening because dogs and all the other animals, as much as we'd like to, Rover's gone to heaven, dog heaven, cat heaven or whatever. No, they don't. See, they have the breath of life in them, as we saw a moment ago, as all the creatures do. Okay? But once they die, they return to the dust, as we do, and the Scriptures teach that, you see. But the difference is, they don't have an immortal soul that will live on for eternity. See? Whereas man does. Genesis chapter 2, in verse 17, when God was giving instructions to the man concerning the place that he lived and all that was available to him, we see here that he told Adam what? Yeah. You can eat of the fruit of all the trees in the garden except this one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what did he say? In the day that you eat, you will die. Okay? Surely die. Surely die? No. You will surely die. Okay? His name wasn't Shirley. It was Adam. Okay. So what we see here taking place is, again, God making an expression here to Adam and making it very clear, two things in that statement, okay? Death occurs how? Okay? It comes on by sin, but it occurs physically and spiritually. See? When Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree that they were told not to, did they die physically? No. They still continued living for some time, right? Adam lived to be, 916 years old, something like that? Somebody check me on that. I don't remember exactly. But, quite a long time. But death began at that point, didn't it? Okay, physical death and deterioration and so forth. Right. But also, the spiritual death was what? It's that separation from God. You see? So, on that occasion, when they ate of that fruit, then spiritually, man was separated from God. Or dead in sin. Okay. So we have to understand it in both of those terms here, the physical death and the spiritual death. Again, how involved is the Holy Spirit in all of this? You see? Life physically continued on, but spiritually Adam and Eve were separated from God. How is the reconciliation to take place? Of course, through the death of Jesus on the cross. Okay. Now here's an interesting thing here. If you go over to Genesis chapter 3 rather, and let's see here. Verse 21 rather. Somebody read that for us? I won't charge anything extra for this morning, okay? This is a freebie.
3:21?
Yeah.
The Lord got me garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them.
Okay. When Adam and Eve had sinned, they ate the fruit and then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. What did they do? they hid themselves, right? Because they were naked and they were ashamed. And in their attempt to cover themselves, what did they do? They made some garments somehow out of fig leaves, okay? But here, God made garments of skin for them. Yeah, where did the garments of skin come from? Animals. Yeah, this is the first time that we see that innocent blood was shed to cover the sinfulness of man. So in other words, when we go through and we look at through the Scriptures, especially under Moses and the law and all the requirements for the animal sacrifices, you know, where did all that come from? You know, why did God choose to have these animals sacrificed? All it's right here. You say that's the beginning of it. In order to cover man's sinfulness, innocent animals' blood had to be shed. Okay? But all that did was cover the sinfulness. It didn't take it away, did it? Okay? And so it was going to take the blood of an innocent lamb, that is Jesus, in order to actually remove the sin. Rick?
Those were high dollar designer clothes.
Yeah. Now, we see here that God's presence is breathed into mankind, and as well as all the other creatures that God created. You know, you wonder why, you know, we have these cockroaches that crawl around and lizards and, you know, whatever. It's because God created them and He breathed life into them, and, you know, and so that's what it's all about. Just like you and I. And so the next several passages that we're going to look at ought to make you feel really good that in terms of those kinds of things, we're not a whole lot better off than the cockroaches and the lizards and the snakes and the dogs and the cats and so forth in terms of physical life. We've got the same breath, and God's presence through His Spirit in us remains in us until we die. And a couple of people last week, you know, had read my notes ahead of time, were kind of jumping ahead of us here into this, so that's where we're at this morning. Look at Job chapter 27. Let me get somebody to read verses 3 and 4 for us. Job 27, 3 and 4. Okay. So as long as I have life within me and the breath of God in my nostrils, okay, Job acknowledging that God's Spirit is what is present within him and gives him life. Chapter 32 and verse 8. Who's got it? Okay. It is the Spirit in a man. And your translation says inspiration, the breath of the Almighty, okay, that gives him understanding. 33 and verse 4.
The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has.
Okay. We go back to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. Genesis chapter 6 is the story of Noah. Let me get somebody to read that for us. Genesis.
The Lord, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. yet his days shall be 120 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My spirit will not abide in man forever. In other words, a statement that says, what is it that sustains our life? The Spirit of God within us. And God is going to limit the amount of time that man lived from that time on to 120 years. Okay? Before that time, then we're living for hundreds of years. Okay? God says, not so anymore. I will remove my spirit. His days will, days shall be 120 years. I saw a hand up here saying, "Would you?"
I kind of, from studies that I have done on this, when man originally sinned, correct me if this is wrong, but I think the moment man sinned, not only was man changed, but the whole world was changed.
Oh, I think so. I think that there's, and we're going to see that more and more here in just a minute as we go over to talking about the Spirit in the new creation. So hold with me just for a minute on that thought, because I think you're exactly right here. But let's go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And as I said a few moments ago, the humbling part of us being made humans and being made in God's image, yet at the same time we are flesh, we're formed out of the dust of the ground, we don't have in those regards any advantage over, all the creatures, the other creatures that God created. Who's got Ecclesiastes 12, 1 through 7? Tom, go ahead.
Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near, and you say, I have no pleasure in them. But the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. In the days when the keepers of the house tremble, and strong men bow down, and grind your teeth because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim. When the doors are shut,
so, in terms of physically, when we die, what's going to happen? God's spirit will be removed from us, and our physical body will return to dust. Okay? When it comes to physical, we just have to remember we ain't nothing but dirt. How's that make you feel? See? Now, God does some marvelous things with dirt, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Okay? You see? But keep in mind that it's his spirit that allows this dirt to move and to function. You see? Because without that, all we would be is simply a pile of dirt. It is the Spirit of God that gives the life. And when the Spirit is gone, then the life is gone. And the flesh returns to what it was. Okay, any other thoughts or comments at all? All right, let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. Let me get somebody to read for us verses 22 through 27. We're going to talk for just a moment about the Spirit and new creation under the topic of groaning and birthing. We've looked at the Holy Spirit in terms of the creation, okay? But we need to take a moment before we finish this particular segment looking at the Holy Spirit and new creation. Romans 8, 22 through 27. Who's got it? Lynette? Verse 27, he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Let me get somebody to turn over to Hosea 4, verses 1 through 3. Keep your finger right here, but let me just get somebody to go over there and read that. We're going to come back here in just a moment. What we find in this text here, Romans 8, 22 through 27, there are three different groanings that are mentioned here. Did you notice that? Three different groanings. Verse 22, the first one that we see, Judy, is who? Who's groaning? The whole creation. This is what you brought up a few moments ago here, you see. Did things change in God's creation when sin entered the world? I think if I understand this passage correctly, it did. You see, the whole creation has been groaning. Because of sin, the whole creation suffers and groans. Who's got the passage in Hosea, verses 1 through 3 for us? Hosea 4. Who's got that? So Hosea tells us here, even the land itself is mourning. See, in this struggle. But when we look at this creation that is in mourning, how does Paul describe that mourning, or that groaning rather, that's going on? What does he say here about it? It is, the whole creation has been groaning together in what? In labor pains, or the pains of childbirth. Okay, what do you mean by that? Well, if you think about it, okay, you ladies, you've had children, there's a lot of those labor pains that are there before that child is born, right? But what happens after the baby is born? Yeah, the pains are gone, and there's joy there, isn't there? See? And so Paul wants us to understand that it's not just us, but it's the whole of creation that is groaning in this kind of a way, that there's this anticipation. Even though there's groaning and there's pain now, there's joy to look forward to. See? Okay. The second groaning, it's not only the creation that's groaning, but we are groaning, he says, verse 23. We already have the first fruits of the Spirit, okay? But yet, he says, we wait in anticipation for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. So again, there is a groaning, there is a waiting, there is a we're stuck here in this sinful, painful, physical world, are we not? Until such time as what? Until we are renewed. We get a new body. See? That is a spiritual body. Okay? So again, there's that anticipation of what is to come. Now, we are already, those in Christ, are already experienced the joy of being God's children, do we not? Okay? But that joy that we experience now is nothing to compare with the exceedingly great joy that we will receive, say, after this physical life is over. And so, until that time, we groan. See, we groan. I don't know about you, but you know, there's a lot about this world that we live in that I don't like. You know? A lot of it's just painful, it's hurtful, it's, you know, just a lot of difficult stuff, isn't it? But yet at the same time, I'm in joy because of my relationship with Christ. But once I pass on from this life, all of that physical stuff will no longer be an issue. Why? Because there's no tears in heaven, right? Okay. So we groan right now. See? But that groaning is an anticipation of what we will have in the future. And then the third one here, the third groaning is the Spirit, verse 26. Look at what he says here. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So the Spirit is interceding with groaning that is too deep for words. You ever had those times where you just don't know what to pray for? You know? I've been doing a lot of that over the last week concerning my dad. I'll be honest with you, I don't know what to pray for concerning my dad. My dad is, you know, he's raised Catholic. He's always been Catholic. Several years ago, he denounced the church. He's just, you know, he is who he is. My dad is a mean, miserable, very unhappy person. That's just the facts. I don't want my dad to have to suffer. He's my dad, okay? And I don't have a great relationship with him. I don't have a bad relationship. I just don't have much of a relationship because there's never been one. But he's my dad, okay? And I don't want him to have to suffer, you know, needlessly and so forth and just laying there wasting away to cancer. But how do I pray? Do I pray that, you know, asking God's favor upon him when he's turned his back on God? How do I do that? How do I ask God to bless a man who's, you know, doesn't live his life for him? How do you pray? I don't know. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in those circumstances, but that's, to me, where the Holy Spirit helps out, you see, exactly what Paul's saying here. God knows what my heart is, and I just bring it up before God and say, God, I don't know. I just don't know what to pray for. I don't know what the answer is to all this. I leave that to you. Okay. And the Holy Spirit knows how to take what's on my heart and what's on your heart before the Father's throne on our behalf. Okay. So we can find great comfort knowing that the Spirit is taking those prayers and those feelings and all of that before the Father's throne on our behalf. Okay. In ways that you and I just simply cannot express. So we see the work of the Holy Spirit not only in the creation at the beginning, but we see the Holy Spirit's work continuing in the new creation that we are looking forward to in our lives today. So as we go through this this particular part of our study, looking at the Holy Spirit in creation, you know, the question that I want you to think about in looking at all this thus far is, do you know who the Holy Spirit is that you have received? Okay. You know, the Apostle Paul asked some disciples that he had encountered, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized? And they said, we didn't even know that there was such a thing as the Holy Spirit. Well, we know that there is a Holy Spirit, so that question is not really the one that's relevant for us. I think the more relevant question is, do you know who that Holy Spirit is that you want to have working in your life? The one who lives in us as God's children is the same one who hovered above the face of the deep as God's creation was spoken into existence. That's the same Holy Spirit that we have living and dwelling within us today. He's the same one who is constantly sustaining and renewing the creation so that everything keeps going on as God set it to be until such time as God decides to stop it all. He's the same Holy Spirit who gave life to every creature. Okay? And remains with us until we die. And He's the same Holy Spirit who is the midwife, so to speak, of God's new creation, in which we will live in resurrected bodies as part of God's redeemed humanity. That's the Holy Spirit that we've been talking about, getting to know. Is that the Holy Spirit that you know? That's the Holy Spirit of the Bible. Is He the one that you know in your life? Okay? We will, from this point in our study, next week we'll begin looking at the empowering Spirit through the Scriptures. All right? Believe it or not, we still have a couple of minutes. I think that's a record, isn't it? Does anybody have any other comments or questions or whatever? All right, I'm going to let you all out a little bit early out of class today, all right? So thank you all very much.